The Dynamo play Toronto tomorrow. It's on 650 at 1:30 and the all-new radio.com.
Is this the new Dynamo music?
This is not the new Dynamo music. Join us early on Orange Avenue with the 610s for 610 swag, prizes, food, drink, and more as we get set for the game. It is tomorrow, 1:30 on CBS Sports Radio 650. Landry is in for Seth this morning. Matt takes in a few minutes. Vandy is in, as you heard, obviously, as well on this quasi-football Friday. We're going through the schedule. Landry's doing storylines, recaps, quotes, and more. He's got the Texans right now 7-3 as we go into a home game against the hated Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans. I think this is a few days after Thanksgiving on Monday, November 26th, on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, war of words continued between Mike Vrabel and Bill O'Brien. Last time these two teams met, Vrabel called O'Brien a fat hack and even got a Gatorade bath following the Titans' win over the Texans. This week, O'Brien didn't bite his tongue. He said, given what Mike Vrabel did as our defensive coordinator last year, he's the fat hack. As a matter of fact, he might actually have some man boobs. This time, the Texans, they would have victory. Texans, 1-2 record in the division. Not anymore. They even their division record to 2-2. It's deja vu for the Texans at home against the Titans. Last time they faced the Titans, they won 57-14. This time, not so ugly. They only win 43-14. Watson with three touchdowns in the air, one on the ground. Dylan Cole with another pick six in this game, just like he did last time these two teams met at home. After the game, no handshake at midfield between Bill O'Brien and Mike Vrabel. That's all anyone wanted to talk about after. But the only thing that matters, your Houston Texans, now 8-3, heading into a matchup with the Cleveland Browns on December 2nd.
I like 8-3.
From a content standpoint, it's good to have Vrabel in this division. And it is good, even though I'm annoyed by it, for all those people in Nashville to buy into Vrabel.
You know how stuff you say on the radio just gets blown out of proportion, right? So somebody's listening in like West U and Bel Air, wherever Vrabel lived.
They're not happy.
Like, what is this feud you have with O'Brien? You know, he called you a fat hack with man boobs. You know, like, that's going to get out. It's going to get back to him. And it's going to actually start the feud.
That would be one of the greatest
Johnny
moments.
Johnny and Friendswood walks into the break room and is stirring his coffee. Did you hear that Mike Vrabel said, Bill O'Brien said that Mike Vrabel has man boobs?
Oh, yeah, he just lit the fuse. So it's life imitating art.
If Landry created a feud between O'Brien and Vrabel, that would be one of the top two or three moments of your life.
Put that in your book.
Yeah, without question. So 8-3 after Tennessee, which leads to a showdown the following week, Sunday, December 2nd, against either Sam Darnold or Josh Allen or Tyrod Taylor and Myles Garrett and maybe Hugh Jackson and your Cleveland Browns.
Sunday, December 2nd, the 8-3 Houston Texans hosting the Cleveland Browns. Texans, not so much trouble in this one. They have a 35-7 lead at the half, which means there was an opportunity for things to get personal. Brandon Whedon, the former number one pick in Cleveland, gets some reps. He throws two touchdowns. On the final touchdown, a strike to Will Fuller down the sidelines. He runs down the sidelines, pointing to the Cleveland Browns bench. Texans win 52-28, 9-3 on the season, heading into a matchup Sunday, December 9th, against the Indianapolis Colts.
I mean, this game should be a win without knowing really anything. I think Cleveland will be better this season, but I was baffled that Hugh Jackson kept his job after last season, and they're going to have a more talented roster. I think the Texans should win this game, though.
They were so close in so many games last year.
They were.
They would blow it. Something weird would happen. They were playing a rookie quarterback. It's tough, especially without enough talent around him. I do think they're a better team. They're a better team than 0-16, guys, so we'll see. But I'm glad they're at home. I'm glad they're the opponent on a short week after a Monday night game. And
again,
at home, it's beautiful.
I thought the exact same thing. I always worry about who you play the week after Monday night football because they face Tennessee on Monday night. Having Cleveland an easier game at home, I do like that as well. All right, so we're at 9-3 now. We finished with four games in the 9 o'clock hour. Time now for Mad Takes on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Landry is in for Seth this morning. This is up your alley, Mark, because I think your dad was a pilot.
Yes.
I saw a story in USA Today after the whole the crash and the woman who passed away, unfortunately. There's a story in USA Today about how a service who ranks airlines, that it's very difficult to actually rank them in terms of safety because they are actually so safe. And when you compare airlines in general to like cars and deaths on the road,
amazingly safe.
They're actually incredibly safe to fly.
Yeah, now, I mean, there are thousands of planes in the air right now.
Yes, and there are so many flights. And I know the feeling is like, oh, okay, when I'm on a plane, I don't have control. Whereas in a car, you feel like you do have control. But the stats actually indicate that even the weird stats actually are that even if a plane does crash, usually a significant amount of people actually survive in a crash.
Well, when I read about that harrowing experience, oh my gosh, I don't think I'd deal very well with that. Like, I might...
I'd freak out.
I
freak out at turbulence, you know? And it's my dad always says this, all right? He was a pilot for TWA, flew 747s, and he also flew NATO jets in Texas training back in the 50s with the NATO program. He always says this, the plane wants to be in the air. And I thought, that does make sense in a weird way. He said, you could shut off all the engines. I'll take it in for a landing. Everything's going to be fine.
Wow.
But he's kind of like a thrill seeker. So I don't know if I should believe him on that. But he always says they're so unbelievably safe. He said, you could knock out an engine or two. We'll be fine.
So basically, is he saying with that comment that the planes are so well built that they're just designed to be?
Well, he flies gliders now. He's 85 years old. He still flies gliders.
Wow.
Okay, where they tow you up, they disconnect the line, and you're up there without any engine whatsoever.
Forget that.
Oh, no. And he's 85. He says, I'll stay up there for a couple of hours, but I got to come down eventually to go to the bathroom. You know, he's
makes
a stud.
Sense.
He's amazing.
That's
so it gives
awesome.
Me hope that I can continue to do my job for a while.
Fair.
Yeah.
This, according to ESPN, the New York Knicks, they're interviewing an interesting candidate for their vacant head coaching job. Mark Vandermeer, tell me your thoughts on this. They're going to interview inside the NBA's Kenny Smith about their open position. Smith, no coaching experience, seems to be smart on TV, but the Knicks are giving him an interview today.
Give him a clipboard, say, all right, draw me up a few inbounds plays. Like in the interview, I'd be doing stuff like that.
Do it quickly.
Here, show, you know, put a clock on them.
Give me a timeout.
No, give me an inbounds play right now. All right, give me another one. I would do stuff like that. Because if I'm Kenny Smith and I get that job, you can bet I have two or three assistants who are really good at that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't have to. All right, listen to him. Delegate like Vrabel hiring Dean Pease. That's what I'm going to do. Why are people are so obsessed with the TV stuff? And Knicks fans must be horrified about this. And God bless Kenny's great former Rocket. This is ridiculous. Get a coach. Get a guy who's been working at this for a long time.
Let me note that the Rockets fans had a rally for Kenny Smith only two short years ago.
That's hilarious.
And to coach their team?
And Seth was there, and he had some quotes from people about Kenny Smith.
Well, by saying the Rocket fans, it's not everybody.
Yeah, it's not everybody.
It's some Rocket fans.
It's weird with the NBA. You feel like there are two classes of coaches. There are guys who are basically the head coach, like a college football program as head coach, where that guy, win or lose or whatever, that guy's the head coach. Rick Carlisle, Eric Spoelstra, Popovich. I know he wins all the time. You get the idea. And then there's like these random guys. It's like, hey, Orlando, we're gonna have Frank Vogel 2 years, gone. Whoever else, like basically Earl Watson in Phoenix, a year and a half, gone. There's two totally different classes of coaches. Whereas, you know, Carlisle has a bad season because the talent's bad, but he's won a championship. Nobody cares. Spoelstra has won two championships, so he loses once in a while. Nobody cares.
I've got another bad take, okay? And it's related to this. The Philadelphia 76ers. All right, everybody fell asleep, and all of a sudden they won 50 games, right? And it took years to get this kind of success, whatever this is. They're up, 2-1 on the Heat right now?
Yep.
And this bothers me about basketball and baseball, too. As wonderful and amazing it is that the Astros won the World Series, it still bothers me that they had to be bad for all those years. Not only bad, horrendously terrible in order to get in position to do what they're doing right now. And the Sixers, they haven't won an NBA championship. I don't know if they will, but they're finally, you know, 50 win
team. It's a lot of struggling.
And the East is not as horrible as it was, obviously. You have, every team in the playoffs is a winning team, which actually is a headline in this league. It is a headline that every team in the East had a winning record going into the playoffs. Anyway, it bothers me in these sports that you have to be that bad for that long to do anything. And the NFL is not quite like that. Now, you do have some teams that are perennially bad, like Cleveland or whatever, but you can bounce back a lot easier in this league.
Well, the incentives align themselves to where if you're bad and there's no hope, it makes sense to be bad because then you get your first dibs and cheap contracts with rookies. And you would have to totally change the system for that not to be the case.
But I think it's horrible because most teams don't bounce out of it the way the Astros did, and the Sixers took forever to get even this far.
If you look at baseball, though, all the teams that have rebuilt in the way the Astros have, and I'm going back years, even teams that did it unintentionally, like the Pirates and the Royals, eventually they all got good.
It took a decade plus for those guys, though.
I know. It might have taken
two decades.
It took like years for the Rays to be good, but they kept drafting the top 5 or 10. And then eventually, for a while, they overtook the Yankees and the Red Sox because they had all that cheap young talent and it was good. And it's hard. If you would almost, I feel like you would have to abolish the draft in some way for you not to incentivize tanking in these sports.
I feel like every team should just have an equal shot at one pick.
Every
team should have an equal shot at the number one pick. Just throw all the ping pong balls in there and pick it. Because this tank, it benefits too much to tank in the NBA at this point. It benefits you way too much to tank. I just think everybody just throw it in there. And even if it's the Golden State Warriors, they get the number one pick. There it is.
I also think this. Now, the Knicks are a terribly run organization. We agree with that. But it's bad for the league that the Lakers and the Knicks aren't.
It's really bad.
Of course.
I mean, you know, it's nice that Boston's good again, but Boston, as great as they've always been, or usually been, or often been, or however you want to describe it, it's still not as great for the league if New York and LA and Chicago, by the way, if they were playing better. Yeah.
We've been talking about the Browns, who are in NRG Stadium on Sunday, December 2nd, to face the Texans. There was a report this week from The Ringer, Kevin Clark, that, and people have joked about this, Browns have the number one pick and the number four pick, courtesy of the Houston Texans, that they've actually given some consideration to taking two quarterbacks high in the draft. They won't, but apparently they've actually given consideration to the idea of, you know what, we have not been able to solve quarterback for the last 18, 19 years. Let's take a quarterback at number one and number four. Let me ask you this, Mark. If you were doing a show and doing and being the voice of the Browns, how much would you, to what extent would you consider something like this?
I would say, well, give me a Kirk Cousins, though. Give me a Steve Walsh. Give me that. Give me a high draft choice quarterback and give me another guy a few rounds later, Gus Frerot with, Heath Shuler in Washington?
With the Redskins?
Yeah. Give me somebody like that who might turn into somebody. I think it's a little much to go back-to-back in the first round, 1-4. Maybe a second rounder even. I don't know. I don't mind that at all, Mike. Give me bodies. In fact, with the Texans, I was driving to work this morning thinking, if I'm running the Texans, what am I thinking about quarterback? I'm thinking that I want to draft a quarterback at some point in this draft. Now, if I don't like anybody, forget it. I'm talking about, like, you know, down the line in the draft, somebody who might, you know, flare up.
Is this a Kyle Allen movement right here?
I don't think so.
Or the guy, yeah, Kyle Allen's never actually been good at football.
Maybe one of those guys they coached at the Senior Bowl. I'm just thinking, give me somebody who might turn into something, you know, just in case. Somebody who might be able to win the backup job if he's really good.
I mean, I agree.
Good enough.
I think that you can't go 1-4, but that hypothetical makes sense.
Speaking of Kyle Allen, I want the Texans to draft one of his former teammates, and I'm going to put you on the spot, Mark Vandermeer. I need you to put your broadcast voice on for me.
Hello.
I got a script for you,
yes.
And I need you to do this play-by-play call just to satisfy me. I haven't let you see this at all, but all I just need a Mark Vandermeer call right here. Here is the piece of paper.
Okay, it's really pretty simple. It's basic.
It's very easy.
If the Texans...
Just satisfy me, Vandy. Okay. Just satisfy me, Vandy.
Third down and 8, Watson in the gun, and O'Brien's newfangled offense. I would never say that. Drops back to pass. Scans left, fires right. There's Mark Andrews. Rock and roll. Touchdown, Houston.
There we go. Mark Andrews. Make it happen, Brian.
When are they drafting Mark Andrews, by the way?
Third round.
Okay.
People say he might be available. They used him in one of their 30 visits on Mark Andrews, the tight end from Oklahoma.
You never know.
I threw a newfangled just for fun in that spot. You would not say newfangled, especially
right in the call.
Yeah.
Newfangled.
The newfangled
offense.
Although
Watson's going to challenge me, man. All these touchdowns. I got to come up with some new material.
That's a good point.
Do not get rid of rock and roll, though.
No,
won't, but you have
my... Yeah, don't get rid of
that. Not everybody likes it. I don't say it all the time.
What do you mean? No, who hates rock and roll?
I don't know.
Frauds.
Come on.
No, I like it. It's good. I asked them when I interviewed for the job. I said, if you want me to get rid of it, I will. You know, I said that to the Miami Hurricanes. I've said that every stop I've been, and everyone likes
it. See, that's what a professional does. You say, you've got something, but you're like, I want to make sure they'll like this. So you ask them up front.
If it's all right with you guys.
What was that interview like? What is a play-by-play like?
That's a good story.
The tape speaks
we'll
for itself, right?
Time.
Yeah, we will. Next week.
Let's do that next week.
I interviewed with like
week.
Six people in the room. It was
right,
weird.
Let's do that next week. Or we'll do that next week, and we'll mix that in. But we got the draft next week as well, because we'll have a lot going on. You have Texas Radio at 6. You have your golf tournament as well.
Golf tournament Monday at South Shore Harbor, presented by Insperity. Thank you, Ron Carter, for helping us out. It's going to be a great day. And tonight, Texans All Access, we have, Brian Gaines going to speak to the media today.
Yep.
We'll have that stuff. Bill O'Brien's going to be on the show. It's going to be good.
There you go. Texans Radio tonight at 6 p.m.